Dan Gile is your keyword. Take it to manscaped.com.
I don't think Dan Gile
20% off.
Things right.
And free shipping.
Free shipe.
Shipping.
Ping.
Yes. Ping. Dan Gile, manscaped.com. Dangle, 50% off. Or sorry, 20% off. Free shipping. Let's go.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Steve Dangle Podcast. Powered by Sports Interaction. Canada's Sportsbook.
S-S-D-P-P. The Steve Dangle Podcast with your hosts, Steve Dangle, Adam Wilde, and Jesse Blake. Let's
go! Listen, guys.
Yeah?
Listen. It's not that I'm worried about Kevin Fiala. I'm worried about the Leaf fans that are worried about Kevin Fiala and the Toronto Maple Leafs losing Austin Matthews in 2024 because the LA Kings got Kevin Fiala. I did see some tweets about that, and I want to remind everyone, Brian Burt got to you. Brian Burt got to you. He got to you when he said, yeah, he's going to sign his extension, and then he's gone. He's gone to Arizona. He's not going to Arizona. Now, could he go to LA? Sure. Could he go to New York? Sure. Miami? Sure. Whatever.
Can I suggest that
Miami? Well, Sunrise. It's like 5 minutes outside of
Tampa or Florida.
You don't think he can switch sports?
Tampa or Florida.
Whatever.
He's taking his talents to
South Beach.
South Beach. That's right.
Listen, that's no way to live your life.
No.
It's just not. There's no way. It's no way to live your life fearing what Austin Matthews is going to do in 2 years. Stop it. Knock that off.
Yeah.
Knock that off.
And remember, he scored 60 goals for your team this year. That's the only thing you ought to think about.
And the heart.
And the heart.
It's funny.
First heart in 65 years. Something
like that. I was thinking about that the other day, how little of a story it was that a Leaf won the heart. Like
the nothing story.
It's a nothing story because everyone wants the same thing. And so does he. And if he doesn't get it next year, then I'll start to panic.
Yep.
Yep. But until then, God, you have so much life to live. Just do it.
Now, Kevin Fiala was had for, I mean, it was a pretty solid deal unless, to me, I was like, okay, I hope when that trade was announced, I hope LA had the chance to talk to Fiala.
Can you say the trade?
Oh, the trade. Well, I can, first off, I'm going to tell you that Fiala signed with the Kings for 7.7875.
Yeah.
A weird number.
For sure. And what's weird is he doesn't wear any of those numbers. Is he feeling okay? Isn't it weird that he doesn't have that?
So the Wild.
God, people are weird.
The Wild got defensive prospect Brock Faber and LA's first round pick, 19th overall in this year's draft.
So essentially a first and a second because Brock Faber was a 2020 second round pick.
And apparently he's highly regarded, though. He's a captain of his team and everything, wherever Absolutely. He plays. So that's great. And here's the thing. The Wild buying out Zach Parise and Ryan Suter last year, they got some hefty cap penalties. It will cost them $12.743 million in dead cap space next season and $14.743 dead cap space the 2 years after that.
Wow.
There are so many Wild players who are going to play for the Coyotes next year.
That's a good point.
It's such an interesting trade because Fiala was an RFA at the time of the deal, you know, and then he signs the extension. You rarely see teams have to give up on an RFA who's a really great player who's worth all the money that he's going to get. Like, Fiala had a year where he's worth this $7 million. And this is a team who's, because of their decision to buy out those two guys, have their hand forced now,
yep,
where they're giving up on really good players.
And you know,
it's a shame.
You know, Jesse, it's interesting that you say that. Here's what Bill Guerin had to say about it. He said, Kevin, had a great year, and we're just not going to be able to do it. We knew that. Fiala's camp knew that. There was no sense in screwing around, trying to fit this under this or give him a low ball deal. It just wasn't going to work. We knew we were going to have to move him. It just didn't fit.
That's so disappointing. Like,
it sucks. It sucks for the fans, right? Like, what's the point of this? Why are we doing this?
And it's one of the deals that Paul Fenton nailed.
Oh, it's Paul Fenton's man. That's his man.
Dude, the trade was 1-for-1, February 25th, 2019, Mikhail Granlund for Kevin Fiala. Dude.
Fleece. What a deal.
Fleece.
Fleece. And it didn't look like that at the time.
Yeah. When he got fired, people were like, what the hell? Because Fiala didn't have a good year when he went to Minnesota.
No, he didn't.
And Granlund was like a decent guy.
Yeah.
And now Fiala.
Now he's a shitty guy.
Fiala was a bit of a late bloomer, but he was ridiculously highly touted in his draft year.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that because it was Nylander's draft year. But he was one of those weird picks, and we've talked about this before, where we're like, he's going to be a star, and he's going mid-first round.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. Like P.K. Subban, I remember, he's going to be a star.
Second round
pick.
Why?
I don't know. There's always a... Alex DeBrincat. He's going to be a star. Second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Someone explain. I don't get it. But Fiala did take a while.
It's interesting. I know that they have these rules in here to stop teams from making the types of deals that Parise and Suter made with the Wild. And I guess the Wild made the deals. But that type of system doesn't even exist anymore. It does sort of rank, like, I understand people that want teams punished, like with the New Jersey Devils, for instance, when they did the Kovalchuk contract,
right,
and they were penalized, and then Kovalchuk left. So they're like, oh, come on, unpenalize us. We didn't do it that bad. Look, he left.
And
they got their picks back, right? They got it. I think they got a first round pick back or something like that.
Lou Lamoriello just calls up Gary Bettman and he doesn't even introduce himself. Gary Bettman speaking. What size are your shoes? All right, yeah, you can have your you can have your pick back.
He's got picks of Gary somewhere. He's doing something.
Gary, whatever size concrete shoe you need.
But here's
Lou Lamoriello will provide.
So this is a very healthy hockey market with a really good team. What benefit to the NHL does this have? And I know, let's talk about the Kings deal in a second here. But I looked at this deal. What benefit do you get out of taking around 20% away from the Minnesota Wild in terms of their cap expenditure for the next 3 years? What's the benefit?
So you should say, how does the NHL should be win? Let off the hook?
I'm saying that these rules probably should have been erased when they renegotiated the CBA in 2020 during the pandemic.
So I'll agree with that. I'll agree that they should have maybe figured that out. However, Bill Guerin knew the risk.
He did.
When he made the deal.
He did. But let's, and I agree with you. And you're 100% right. And this is the way it has to happen now.
Right. But should it still be the case?
Why is that happening?
I wonder if they're just going to, like, is this a pressing topic? Or is it a topic that's going to take care of itself in a couple of years?
It'll take care of itself. But in the meantime, you're hurting one of your best American markets.
Yeah, and helping one of the best ones too.
Oh, sure.
LA's, I know this is a wild thing to say about a team that lost in the first round to a team that lost in the third round, but I think the LA Kings are a cup contender.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that.
You know, you get, because if you take their playoff team, it's like you're up Kevin Fiala and Drew Doughty.
And another year of Byfield and Durzi and all these guys growing up a little bit.
Yeah, Grundstrom.
Oh, yeah.
And Akil Thomas. And oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's a really good team.
But again,
I'll throw Cal Peterson in there.
You've got fans that absolutely adore this team. Why? Why are we doing this? What was other than financial punishment? How does this help the franchise? How does this help the game?
I'd have to ask Bill Guerin. Because, like, listen, this could have happened to anyone, right?
Yes.
If this happened to, it's happening to the Canucks right now in a way.
Mm-hmm.
The cap recapture penalty for Roberto Luongo,
And if you're pissed at the owner, here's the deal. If you're pissed at the owner, make the owner, when they trade the contract or buy out the contract, pay the contract in full. So the owner gets the hit. So don't be a fucking idiot.
Wow.
So you'd say to the guy, don't be a fucking idiot. Wherever this player ends up, you're paying the rest of it, but it's not going to count against the team.
I'll throw this out there too. The rule applies hard to the Minnesota Wild. The rule does not appear to apply to the Chicago Blackhawks and Edmonton Oilers in the case of Duncan Keith. Because didn't Bill Daly say, because the Oilers were supposed to get, if Duncan Keith were to retire, they were supposed to get a cap benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he's saying no. Why?
It's a different circumstance.
It is a different circumstance, but it's
the same backdiving deal, is it?
It's a backdiving deal.
No, but they're
deal.
They're not applying the same rule here. One, you're applying the rule of a cap recapture for a retirement on a player, and the other one, you're applying a rule of a buyout of a contract. Those are completely different rules.
Okay. They are, but it's two different things being applied to contracts that don't exist anymore, like they're illegal. And this one's hard and fast, and we're sticking to it. Yeah. And this one's
but the
not.
The buyout thing on the contract exists on any contract. Like that's a rule that applies to that.
So they're
like,
applying
the Suter and Parise contract. The cap recapture penalties aren't applied because they're illegal contracts.
That's true.
Like
that's true.
They're just contracts. I think the rule should be that there should be no penalties for buying out a player. I think if a player doesn't want to, I think
that does benefit rich teams, and people would have a problem with that.
So
see, you're looking at it under the guise of no one's taking rampant advantage of that right now, which is true. Teams would take rampant advantage. The Leafs would buy out players every single year if there was no penalty.
Yeah, like Tavares would be bought out this year.
Just
not because we don't love him, but it'd be like, all right, John, we're going to buy you out the rest of your deal and we're going to pay you $6 million.
Yeah, should we trade a draft pick to the Ottawa Senators so that they can take on some of our contracts like Connor Brown, or should we just buy him out? Should we offer a sweetener to Chicago or whoever for Peter Mrazek? No, just buy him out. Just buy, like, it would be rampant and it would be 8-10 teams taking advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you think Vegas would have bought out?
I think
everybody.
If you negotiate into the contract that I think it shouldn't be non-guaranteed. Like, I'm pulling this from the NFL in that they you can cut guys. They have non-guaranteed contracts. You can cut players at all.
Which we don't want that either.
I don't want non-guaranteed contracts, but I think there should be some leeway to where if Parise and Suter don't want to be on the Minnesota Wild, because
it sounds like they both did.
The GM doesn't want them on the Minnesota Wild anymore. And he says, because if he kept them on the team, it's for, what was it, like 3 more years, it would have been $14 million against the cap for them to play for them. Mm-hmm. And the GM says, okay, it's worth us to have $14 million for two guys to not play than have $14 million for two guys to actually play.
It shows you the reported effect that their mentality was having in the dressing room.
And I think,
which is a conversation,
there should be some easier way to negotiate this through than rather than just this dead money for two guys to not play.
Especially on contracts that I'm with you on that, because there's no, these contracts don't exist.
And
they're
also,
they're not a part of the current CBA.
They're playing for different teams.
You owe 2/3 of a contract to a guy or 1/3 of a contract to a guy just arbitrarily based on their age.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well,
either.
I think that goes, yeah, it does, because it means
does it?
The reason they do that is because it's supposed to be like a it's supposed to be like you've got more runway to make more money. That's the idea. So at 35, when you sign a contract, your ability to make up that money that you would have lost in a buyout situation is far less than at 25 when you get a third of it. At least that's the theory. And listen, I'm not saying it's a perfect theory, but that's why they implemented it that way.
The theory's flawed because you can't judge how many years a guy has on his NHL life.
Right.
You know, like a 25-year-old might play 2 seasons in the NHL and be done.
Bowen Byram almost retired this year. You know what I mean? Because of, I believe, concussions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, he had a really tough season. Ended at a Stanley Cup champion and playing the best hockey ever.
This sounds like the older guys during the CBA negotiations snuck something in for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like,
oh, there's a whole Alan Walsh episode coming on that one day.
Well, yeah.
I'm not.
You're not going to like some of the players that you grew up as thinking were your heroes.
I'm not going to go to bat for Tony DeAngelo ever, but they knew they didn't like this player. They knew he was a pain in the ass. They signed him to a $9 million contract, let him play
20 games?
No, I think it was like three.
Oh, was that it?
It was like 3 or 4 games. And they're like, that's it. and they held him, and then they bought him out at 1/3.
Yes.
Why did the Rangers get let off the hook? Like,
because he's younger, and his ability to replace that income. That's what it comes to. It's labor law. It's your ability to make that money back. And the theory is that if you're younger, your ability to bounce back from a buyout is much greater than if you're older. And then if you also comes down to, I think, rich teams too, right? Yeah. If you're UFA, you're 35, and the Leafs, let's say it's the Leafs, because the Leafs are the, you know, one of the richest teams, them in New York. They go out and they sign four Patrick Marleaus. Sure. And they only have to buy them out at 1/3 the cost or whatever. It's a hell of a lot easier for a team like that to do that. But if you go and you buy four Patrick Marleaus and you got to buy them out at full, well, that's a different conversation.
What happens the first time a player like that gets bought out, signs for a mil, you know, a much reduced contract, in his first game, blows his knee, he's never going to play again?
Well, then he's LTIR.
He's LTIR, but what does that do for him? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's pretend D'Angelo got hurt first game with the Hurricanes.
Okay.
He'll never play again. So he's just done.
Yeah.
So, like, my ability to make money for the rest of my career.
But you incur it in a game like the NHL, you incur risk like that. That is part of it.
Fuck.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, listen, it's
players need a stronger union.
Well, I think that the negotiations as they were conducted, they weren't great.
What do they do?
What, the PA?
Yeah, like, I feel like every time they come up and we bring up an obvious flaw, we come to the conclusion they don't really do fucking anything.
From what I've heard from sources inside the game, winds are changing. But I also know that there needs to be more input. Like, the NHL doesn't have a Chris Paul.
The winds are changing.
Meaning,
winds are changing.
And so what it means is that I think that there, and we mentioned this with the Kyle Beach sexual assault situation. Mm-hmm. We mentioned this with something else. And you remember, my memory's terrible, but there was something with Dawn Fear where people were like, Dawn Fear needs to go. And it wasn't even the Blackhawks. It was something else earlier this year.
When we were talking about the meetings with the agents in Toronto where he didn't want to speak at the end.
Yeah.
Yes. Referring to?
So that's where I think this summer, like, it's sort of been pushed to the background. But I have a feeling that Dawn Fear, there's a change coming there, just a gut feeling. But the other thing I would say is that, and what I wanted to get to is really important. The guys, and I've mentioned this before, the guys who are on television whenever there's a labor strike are guys that are like third and fourth liners. Or guys that are like six, seven defensemen. Yeah. Like, tell me why during the last lockout, and no offense to him or his memory, but why is Steve Montador speaking for the NHL? The players.
No, it should be a star player on his team.
When you have in the NBA, LeBron James and Chris Paul and these guys going and looking their owner straight in the eye and going, you better do this. That's a heck of a lot more powerful than Andrea Bargnani.
Right. And trying to think, it was the player who got blackballed basically for his involvement in the 2013.
Chris Campoli. Allegedly. We have to say allegedly.
Allegedly.
But he never played a game.
No, he's like 6'7 defenseman, like Ron Hainsey.
Yeah, look up Chris Campoli's hockey DB. You'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah, Ron Hainsey's like top half, like in terms of talent.
Yeah, and the star players currently have nothing to do really with it. They don't show up to the meetings. They don't advocate. They don't care. And it's probably because they're young and they want to go and have fun. And I get that. But unfortunately, like with Wayne and Mario in the early 90s, you got to show up to these meetings. Wayne and Mario showed up to those meetings. Jesse?
Donald Field, by the way, is going to be replaced this summer.
Oh, that's official.
Yeah, we back in April, we touched on it. Yeah, because so they formed a search committee at the end of April, and their next meeting is in Toronto July 18th through 20th. That's when the executive board meets.
Okay, so right after free agency.
And he's going to stay on through the search, but their search committee is, I guess, searching, and hopefully by the end of the summer, they have a new guy.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I think it's time. It's probably time.
It's long past time.
But the Fiala deal in a hockey sense is a great deal for the Kings. And I think I kind of hadn't considered this, but when you look at the ages of, they've got some blossoming players, obviously, but you've got part of your core, major part of your core is Kopitar, 34, mm-hmm. Doughty, yeah. 32. Yeah. So a guy like Fiala with the rookies you have coming up makes a lot of sense because he almost bridges that gap.
Yeah, they're in a... It's, again, weird for a team that lost in the first round, but they're in a major go-for-it year. Like, you're not going to have a much better opportunity than you are over the next couple years.
Yeah.
You want to get the most out of Doughty and his, I guess, the tail end of his prime. Yeah, he's probably on the back nine, but he's still very good.
His contract, by the way, does not expire until the summer of 27.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. A long time. But you from got now.
Okay, so maybe never mind.
You got two more years of Kopitar though.
Yeah.
At 10 million. So next year, the year after, then he's a UFA.
And there's a big power vacuum there because Dustin Brown retired or is retiring.
Right.
So there's a you want to get as many young guys in there as possible because they're going to be the leadership core going forward. It's going to be Sean Durzi, it's going to be Quentin Byfield, it's going to be Akil Thomas, and you know, who know? Maybe a Philip Deneau. Philip Deneau helps bridge that gap big time.
For sure. And you have him, like, Fiala is like an offensive dynamo, mm-hmm. right? Great winger. Mm-hmm. And you got, but then you've got Deneau and Arvidsson, who are both 29, and they are signed for multiple years, but at really reasonable hits. Like, Deneau is a 5.5. Arvidsson's a 4.25.
They're a really good mix, LA.
It is. It's really kind of a good mix.
I look up and down the lineup, I'm like, that's a really good team. Like, they're not missing much pieces.
No. Nope. I think they need... They needed, I mean, if I were to say anything, if you're going to be picky, it would be nice to have another offensive center who's like dominant, i.e. what you hope Jack Eichel can be in Vegas. Mm-hmm. So if that becomes available, I don't know, maybe like in the summer of 2024 when Kopitar's contract's up and Austin Matthews is the guy.
What's wrong with Anze Kopitar?
Nothing wrong with Anze Kopitar, but I think Deneau, who had 20 goals this year, if you're...
Trevor Moore.
I think you probably, ideally, like if you want a Stanley Cup, I think it'd be nice to have Deneau on the third line on like a shutdown line. That's all they
so
do.
So disrespectful.
I love Deneau. I'm a
so
big Deneau guy.
So disrespectful to Kopitar and Byfield and Deneau. There's your three centers up down the middle.
Okay, but is Byfield
it's fucking dominant.
Is Byfield ready
Matthews,
to do
Byfield,
for that?
Byfield, Deneau.
Like disgusting. And Sean Durzi lifts the cup.
Matthews, that $10 million that Kopitar makes could go right into Austin Matthews' pocket.
And the Leafs, who are struggling to get into the wild card, trade Muzzin to them at the deadline.
Byfield, by the way, had 10 points in 40 games this year, right? So as much as there's talent there,
coming
and there
off
is.
A big injury.
Sure.
Yeah.
But Matthews in his first year had 40 goals.
Yeah.
Right. You want to see, I want to know what that is.
You know, a guy who had a really slow start to his career and look at this bust. What a bum. Joe Thornton.
Oh yeah.
Go look at his rookie.
I'm
numbers.
Not saying Byfield is a bust before you hate tweet me at all.
Why did
I'm
you
not
say
so,
that?
It's so disrespectful, Adam.
Oh, well, I think, listen, I don't think LA is quite there yet, but there are a couple players away. If there's a center that comes up and is available, and I am a piece of shit. I think LA is going to be in the mix for like whoever is the top line center. Every year there's a top line center that becomes available, and I wonder if his name is not Pierre-Luc Dubois.
His name's Anze Kopitar.
Mark,
he's on the team.
No, Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Blake Wheeler.
Wheeler's a winger, isn't he?
So what?
Shifley might.
I'm just throwing out names.
But
I'm just throwing out as many names that aren't Austin Matthews as possible.
Oh, just to distract from that?
Yes.
Anyway, good, really good deal for LA. And so here's my question after all of this. What is the Wild's direction? What do you do? 12 million, 14 million, 14 million.
I got a rebuild for fucking 3 years.
You just signed Kirill, though.
They're the Kirill the Thrill. They're so weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I really don't know. Like, it's weird to be in permanent tinker mode.
Yeah. They're going to try and be scrappy for like 3 years. You know, it's going to be like, we're going to play under the cap. We're going to get a bunch of guys who are going to work hard. We're going to have Kirill. We're going to get some good goaltending. And we're just going to try and do what we can with our roster. And they might sneak in the playoffs a couple of times.
I still think they're going to be good. But it's weird that they're like, okay, I assume Marc-Andre Fleury wants to win the Stanley Cup before he checks out.
Again. For the fourth. He was on the bench for the other two. He was backup in the last
one in
two.
2009, and then he was tandem / backup with Matt Murray for the back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is Minnesota that team?
Probably not.
Sign a 1-year deal and then get traded where? You know, like, he didn't really seem that enthused for a trade at the deadline. I don't know.
I wonder, and I think probably that's family related, right? Where it's like,
of course.
Yeah, so he probably wants to sign with the team right off the top. I'm just looking at the Wild cap friendly page. Just an idea, and I don't know if this is even possible, so this is a question for our good friends at Cap Friendly or Puckpedia. Could you LTIR your way out of this situation?
With who?
I don't know. Can you pick up dead money, like actual dead money, and LTIR your way back to the salary cap?
In theory, I think you could. I mean, Cap Friendly goes out of their way to talk about how that's actually not a fun way to be.
Yeah. Sure.
You don't like want
to, but you have to manage. Situation. Well, you also don't want $15 million in dead cap.
But well, it doesn't. This is the problem, it doesn't like buy you back $15 million. You know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, they're not LTIR, are they? But you'd have to buy. So you'd have to buy bad money. You'd have to buy dead money, the equivalent of that amount.
Yeah. I assume Bill Guerin, like, he's had enough success as an executive. I assume Bill Guerin has some sort of plan beyond. Well, we'll just have like a quarter of our cap dead. Not a quarter, but like 15 mil or whatever it was, between 10 and 15 mil. It's a lot. I assume he has a plan that is larger than, you know, we'll just stuff it out.
Yeah, it might just be what Jesse said, rebuild.
Tinker along the way, and I think they'll be decent. They have a lot of good pieces. It's just, it's a shame they're missing $14 million to buy a couple more players.
They looked poised to go on a run. Yeah. Like, that was a good little core they had going.
Chuck Fletcher got another job.
Just an update here, guys. Remember, you too can be a GM. Right, Steve? The Leafs have informed teams they are open to trading the rights to pending UFA Ilya Mikheyev, LeBrun, and Freej. With
second rounder or bust!
Pending what? U or R?
He's a pending U. He's a UFA.
Mikheyev's a UFA, yeah.
When I make those deals as a GM in NHL 22, I net like a 6-round pick. They're not getting
still something.
Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle.
Hey man, that could be Zetterberg.
You can't command a you can't command a Zach Hyman was very highly sought after, and he was looking for a 7 or 8 year deal because he can command it. I don't think Ilya Mikheyev's getting a 7 or 8 year deal.
And you're right, and that's why they can walk away with nothing like they did last year.
Remember when they refused to do the Hyman deal?
I understand the logic.
Yeah,
no,
me too.
No.
I watched Steve's slide. It was just funny.
Take something. Offer.
You know, but then
OBO. Or best offer.
Every deal then is
bullshit logic. That is slippery slope logic. No way.
No, they're people, Adam. Like, you can't, Dubas can't be, his reputation can't be like, oh, just send him whatever. He'll take it.
Dubas is in a position where if he took the 6th, we'd all be like, oh, so he took the 6th.
I'd be fine with that. At least he'd have an idea.
But like the other GMs would be like, ha, fucking Dubas.
Look at this idiot getting 6th round pick for a guy that can't stay. Idiot.
Other GMs.
So zero's better?
Yeah.
Is zero better? What is zero better?
Where's the fucking money, Lebowski? And then
Lebowski leaves and then. Gets the money elsewhere.
Nah.
What happened.
For your reputation, it made sense.
For Mikheyev, I'd gladly take the 6th or the 7th.
And you know what? What I loved about Kyle Dubas this year is how everybody in the league treated him differently.
Yeah.
You know, that not getting that 6th round pick, that sure changed his reputation. It sure changed the fact. The Coyotes weren't putting fucking waiver claims in on a goalie who's 31 from Finland.
Yeah.
Come on.
Ruined his NHL career, basically.
Yeah, because that guy's not going to...
I don't know. Hey, you think so?
You think he's getting an offer?
Maybe.
Maybe that's part of the Leafs' plan in net. I sure hope so for his sake, because he's like, all right, I've achieved everything I've wanted to achieve, and I'm going to go to the NHL with the Toronto Maple Leafs, delete, an irrelevant team who's going to be even more irrelevant next year. And I'm going to play 3 games and get fucking shelled.
The Leafs were down.
That's good shit.
The Leafs were down to their 6th goalie at times. He had a chance to play good games for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It was a shame the Coyotes did that.
You think Harry Sateri is getting an NHL deal after this?
It's also the rules. They're allowed to do it.
They are the rules.
Yeah.
But there is a little bit of, let's fuck with the Leafs here.
It's
so
it's
don't
a rule.
Tell me that that was establishing his reputation there. No way.
But people like, oh, yeah, but teams were taking advantage of the rule. What teams? One team. One. The Oilers over 30 years ago.
What are you talking about?
The rule that allowed the reason why a European player has to go through waivers before signing before the deadline is because I think it was a player named Reho Ruotsalainen, I think was his name. And he would just chill in Europe.
Mm.
And the Oilers would be like, hey, you want to come win a cup? And he'd be like, yeah. And then they'd bring him over and then they'd win a cup. And I think they did it more than once.
And then he'd go back next year, play the whole season in Europe, and then come over.
And then he'd come and be like a
play less games, be more fresh.
Mm. Yeah. Like he'd be a top six contributor in the NHL.
How did you say Reho? What is it?
Oh boy. Ruotsalainen. I'm gonna need you to figure that out, Adam. Reho Ruotsalainen.
Reho Ruotsalainen. Look at this. He played for the Rangers too. So the Rangers had him for 70 games a year.
Look at his playoff numbers.
Whoa, his playoff numbers are really good.
Yeah, they are. That's why there's a rule.
He played 10 games for the, he played 31 for the Devils and then got traded to the Oilers, it looks like, at one point, and 13 points in 22 games. And then in the 86-87 year, 7 points in 21 playoff games.
86, man. Before we were born!
Damn, that's crazy.
This dude is the reason for a rule before Hari Sateri was born.
Look at him. Reho Ruotsalainen is a handsome guy. Look at that.
Oh, I know.
Come on.
It's outrageous.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. That's
wow. Amazing. He also played for your favorite team, Fire Bern. Swiss A. Listen, it's not... I'm not too worried about... We knew Mikheyev was gone or whatever, and I know the 6th-round pick doesn't change things really that much one way or another, but my belief is always, it's like, if you're throwing a used car up for sale, it's like, I'd like 20 grand for it, but I'll take the best offer.
Dubas loves a Galaxy Brain deep pick.
He does.
And you know what? He traded a couple years ago, I believe this was the 2020 COVID draft, with one of the... That was the draft that went like 8 hours. It was agony. But the Leafs traded.
Remember that. Oh, I remember terrible. That being exhausted.
Remember I was late for our podcast?
Yes, I do. And it was like 7 o'clock at night. Oh, Jesse and I were just getting up work.
What? Horrible. It was one of the worst sport experiences.
There was
ever.
A draft.
2020 like, draft.
In the pandemic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That went, it lasted from like 10 or 11 in the morning until 7 o'clock at night.
The second round.
Yeah, this was the back half. Second through seventh.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Leafs,
I don't remember that.
The Leafs traded a seventh to the Bruins for a seventh because they wanted another seventh this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are the odds of this working out? And they ended up drafting Ryan Tverberg, who's like one of their best prospects.
That's awesome. So, I also think too, like Dubas is the one thing he has proven time and time and time again, and people are going to throw the Kadri trade in my face, but you're wrong. Kyle Dubas's strength to me as a general manager, outside of drafting and finding these guys, is trading.
He's made some really good deals. Listen, like a couple didn't work out.
The Foligno deal didn't work out. The Kadri deal didn't work out. But that Kadri deal was not the original Kadri deal.
That is true.
So he took the deal that Nazem Kadri allowed him to take.
And it's clever of Joe Sakic.
Oh, yeah.
To be like, all right, I got a GM with a great asset and no leverage.
What I'm saying
is take your lunch money.
What I'm saying in saying this is that Kyle Dubas can tell me to fuck off because over the Zach Hyman thing, because he's been right more than he's been wrong, by far more. And I look forward to his trades because I'm like, how did we juice these guys?
Listen, death taxes in a Dubas draft day trade. Are you kidding me?
Can't wait. But it's going to be like he's trading the third for 2/4.
What about Jared McCann?
Oh.
Did you add that to the list?
That,
that's one where I understand the logic and hate it. Because, like, I wish they had just come out and said it.
Well, they did later on the Leafs have their, like, documentary or whatever?
No, that doesn't count. You don't get to tell me after you did it. Tell me, get Jared McCann and tell the fan base. Do some PR for God's sake.
Nah.
You acquire a player, fans got excited about the player, and you got the player for the express purpose of losing the player. Boo, you stink. Tell us. Tell us that. Tell us that. We were all like, but he's not gonna. And then he did.
He did.
And so we're all just pissing into the wind for 3 days. No, the Leafs should have come out and told us what was going on there. And then we would have had a few days to be like, all right, here's why that makes sense. Instead of just losing the guy 3 days later and we're all like, that makes no fucking sense. Boo. I understand the logic, but the execution sucked.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, you want to talk about Don Sweeney?
Don Sweeney, multi-year extension in Boston. It's interesting because they've been so good while he's been there. Although that still sometimes the draft picks.
Yeah, it was a
And, you know, Bruce Cassidy being fired.
Mm.
But they have been really good since he's been there. And yet Boston fans are like, I'm not so sure about this. And by not so sure about this, they're like, what the fuck? Because Boston Bruins fans don't do anything on the low.
So 2 days ago, the Boston Bruins tweet, the Boston Bruins have signed general manager Don Sweeney to a multi-year contract. That tweet currently has 592 likes, 1,439 replies, and 1,164 retweets. The Bruins got their asses kicked in the quote tweets, and it is very rare, at least these days. It wasn't as rare growing up, but these days it's very rare to see Bruins fans so united against the Bruins. They're not happy.
He earned his extension by firing his head coach. That seemed like it was the one-for-one deal. You want a new contract? You gotta get rid of this guy.
And he won. He won.
I guess.
He's still a general manager.
He walked into the living room and said, hey, can I use your washroom? And also, you're fired.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm gonna get an extension over this. And didn't flush.
A little yellow right? Water.
I mean,
so it's best case scenario, Jesse Blake. Mm-hmm. Best case scenario. Dude, they fired a really good coach at his freaking house.
I know.
And got an extension.
It seemed like that's what it seemed like the deal was. Jeremy, you want to keep your job, you got to let go of the head coach.
Not to break out the puns, but Bruins fans are smarter than the average bear. You see, because a Bruin is a...
They get it.
You see, because... they understand exactly what happened here, and that's why they're pissed.
So people compare Jeremy Jacobs to Darth Vader, and I think that's wrong. They should be comparing him to Emperor Palpatine.
Absolutely.
Because Darth Vader is really a pawn of Emperor Palpatine, if you know Star Wars. And there's a scene in the Star Wars, Clone Wars, animated scene, where before Darth Vader is Darth Vader, he's got Count Dooku, right? So you got Palpatine, Dooku, and then Dooku has this assassin who he's trained in the Force, and her name's Ventress. Wow. And Palpatine comes in on the intercom, and he's like, I understand that she's doing a very good job, right? And then Dooku's like, she is, and he's old and...
On the intercom?
On the, you know, that little thing. And then she's like, he's like, well, it seems like you're training your apprentice to kill me. And he's like, I would never, that's my apprentice. I would never do that. And then he's like, kill her to show your... to show your loyalty to me, and he does, or he tries to anyway, and it feels a little like that in the Boston situation, right? It's like it's sort of just kill him at home.
I
go to his house.
I think the
wreck
worst,
him,
the
and
worst,
I'll give you a 3-year extension.
The worst thing the Bruins did was put Jeremy Jacobs' name on the cup. That was a team that was fun to cheer for in 2011, but I'll never forgive them for that.
You don't put an owner's name on the cup?
No, I'm saying they did put his name on the cup.
Oh.
And I hate that his name is on.
Oh, that.
I hate that Jeremy Jacobs besmirched the Stanley Cup.
What order would you recommend somebody watch Star Wars?
Well, they actually have on Disney Plus. They have the full Here's how you would watch it in order.
Would you watch it? Would you watch it in chronological, or would you watch it in the way that it came out in history?
I think you watch it in the way that they had it released. Mm. I think you watch it, but you don't need to. Other than Rogue One, like Rogue One, you have to watch, obviously. But I think you watch it in the way that theatrical releases came out, except for the newer movies, because I really like the first one. The Last Jedi was kind of weak, and then the third one's The Rise of Skywalker, whatever. It's just horrible.
Yo, that is a piece of shit.
It's so bad.
What?
It's so fucking bad,
that
man.
Movie
it's
is a piece of shit.
It's so stupid.
The most recent Star Wars that came out.
It is a garbage of shit.
So what I would recommend, Jesse, if you are going to watch it, is watch the original movies from the 70s.
In the order that they came out.
Yes,
in
and
the
then
70s.
Watch the movies from the 90s. And then watch Rogue One.
Yeah.
And then you can watch like Han Solo's story and then get into like Clone Wars. If you want to get into the series like Clone Wars, Mandalorian is amazing.
Yeah.
Boba Fett's really good. Obi-Wan was great as well. You'll love those. They really, it's almost like, you know, when they have Charlie Brown lined up and Lucy's got the football and it's like, this is a, can't miss this time.
Character that we heavily marketed the first one around. Nope, you're gone. Yeah. Character that the audience fell in love with. Nope, you're gone. Shitty storyline that makes no sense. Yep, we're going to start with that through text.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, dude, it's so awful.
And Jesse,
it's
Jesse,
really
like,
bad.
The thing with Last Jedi that gets me.
It is a hunk of
shit.
This
came out like last December, right?
December 4th. I think 2019 it might have been.
It's the first movie I saw back in theater, and I wish I was back at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
A piece of shit.
It gave Steve COVID. No, I'm kidding.
No,
what was terrible about it? Here's what was terrible about it. All right. The Last Jedi, the whole premise is, okay, guys, we can only go a certain speed, and we're running out of space gas. And they can only go a certain speed, and they'll stay exactly this far away from us.
Going like this.
Yes, they'll stay exactly this far away from us until we run out of space gas, and then we're fucked. That was the whole premise of 90% of that movie. And then they're like, oh, by the way, Luke Skywalker could meditate and become a person elsewhere, and now he's dead. And everybody's like, wow, what a fucking brilliant movie. Ryan Johnson.
Why did that kill him also?
I don't understand.
I was watching that. I was like, fuck yeah, Luke Sky. What do you mean he's dead? What do you mean?
So they kill Luke Skywalker in the most recent Star Wars movie?
No, in The Last Jedi, which is the second most recent.
Okay.
So they kill him in the middle.
We're not
movie.
Talking about the same thing anymore.
No, we're talking about both of those movies and how bad they are. And everybody talks about how great The Last Jedi is. Like, imagine the premise is, okay, guys, all right, we're at Disney headquarters. I'm walking in with my script. Okay, guys, we can only go 100 kilometers an hour. And we're running out of space gas. But they can only go 100 kilometers an hour. So we got like a 12-hour window to make this happen. It's the plot from Speed.
Is that Speed's the movie where the bus explodes if they travel under 30 kilometers an hour?
Yes. The movie should have been called Space Bus.
Yeah, it should have been. And I think there was a Speed
space
2.
Speed.
I think there's Speed 2, but it's either with an airplane or a cruise ship or something like that, which I don't think
Keanu I remember was watching Speed as like a kid and I didn't get it.
Well, no, because it's weird.
Yeah.
But apparently at the time, it was a big hit. Bullock and
Reeves. Why is this bomb going off on this bus? I don't know.
And then they have, here's the best part about The Last Jedi 2. They send out these fucking bombers, and the bombers are like, it's like watching your grandfather run. If they're just the slowest ships imaginable, there's no way they could be useful, but they deliver this high damage payload. Do you remember that at the beginning?
What's the big robotic walker.
The 2-foot or the 4-foot?
The 4-foot one from the original movies.
AT-AT.
Piece of shit.
What?
Why? Why?
Why?
Take out its skinny little shitty legs and then the whole thing falls down. Piece of shit.
But it's hard to take out its shitty skinny legs.
No, it's not, because they did it. They did it with ropes.
They did it with a tow cable. That's right, because the lasers weren't going through the force field.
Piece of shit.
What sometimes in a digital world, you got to go analog, Steven.
Oh, boo.
Anyway.
Fart.
Luke's dead?
Luke is dead.
Isn't he like the main character?
No.
In the series?
Rey is the main character in the third part of the series. Rey Palpatine.
Who's Rey?
Sorry for any spoilers. She's not a Skywalker. She's a Palpatine.
What? Oh,
and by the way, he's back for a third time.
Adam Driver. Bad guy. Maybe good guy. Here's his nipples. Maybe good guy. Good guy. At the very end, good guy. And it's fine forever. Oh,
what?
It's
I thought Adam Driver was like the villain.
And it's super weird. Yeah, he was. But there was good in him, Jesse.
Also, now he's good.
All you have to do is look at those nips.
It's literally, what if we took the plot for the original trilogy and made it worse?
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Nice. And the first one, The Force Awakens, was like a mirror image of A New Hope, which was the first movie that ever came out. But the whole point of that is that it was supposed to talk about how this is repeating until the cycle ends, right?
Yes.
That was the whole, that's what J.J. Abrams wanted to do. But because they had this stupid thing in Star Wars where no one person was allowed to direct more than one movie, they had to go out and find another guy for it. And Rian Johnson's a great director. Knives Out are incredible films, whatever. But man, if they had just had J.J. Abrams do the J.J. Abrams thing.
So he didn't get to do them all?
No, he got to do one, and then Rian Johnson did it, and they're like, whoa, we don't really like that. And fans are like, no, it's good. No, don't tell me it's not good, even though everybody hated it, it's great. And then
it says he did Force Awakens and Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, they brought him back to save the fucking franchise.
And it did work?
Yeah, no. It was horrible. No. Because Rian Johnson was like, oh, you see that story you're creating? Here, we're going to go over here. And then JJ's got to spend the first half of the movie bringing it back to center.
In the worst way.
I was going to say, he kind of ruined Lost at the end, so I wasn't surprised that he ruined this, but he didn't do all of these.
Right. I also think Lost...
Imagine...
Lost died because in North America, we won't let things run the amount of time they're supposed to run. Yeah. In England, it's like, you get two seasons of this, and that's it. Fuck off.
Yep.
Yeah.
In North America, it's like, well, we need 22 episodes. Oh, wow, it's a hit. We need 30 episodes, 6 years running.
Because some of it has to do with the stupid syndication rules, where you need to reach at least, I think it's eight seasons and 200 episodes, and then you can be syndicated across wherever.
That's right.
So, yeah, they extended Lost way too long just to get the most amount of money out of it.
What was that doing, smoke monster,
what are you doing with
way?
Your chair?
My wires are cut because I'm pissed.
I know. Okay.
So what were you about to
what
say?
Was spoilers? Spoilers for Harry Potter, in case you're one of the few people who doesn't know it. It's like if the Goblet of Fire began with the movie Goblet of Fire began with, well, I'll say it to Adam, Voldemort returns in text.
Biggest bad guy in the series, he's back.
How? Oh, okay.
Because it's the slowest million miles a minute ever.
This is
the
Return
movie started,
of,
and I read that. I'm like, what the fuck?
This is the Skywalker, the 2019
yes.
one.
Yes.
Okay.
Dude,
okay.
It's a hunk of shit.
Following along.
Garbage. So, yeah, I don't know about Don Sweeney. I don't know. We'll see.
Let's
I guess we'll have to see.